and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, but I'm sad about one thing. Brother Gerald, I'm sad that you're going to miss the rest of it. Because you're leaving tomorrow to go on back to Mississippi and then somewhere else after that. We're just going to be reviving and reviving down here, and you're going to miss the rest of it. You got to see a portion of it, but there's more coming. And I'll just write you a note, or, you know, I'll pray for you in your mourning and your loss, but that's my prayer, is that what has begun just continues on in heaven from here on out. So, how many of you are glad to be, how many of you are glad that the Lord sent the Cornerstone Praise Team here tonight? Weren't they a blessing? Let's thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He sent them, and I appreciate you guys being obedient and being here for us tonight. Brother Gerald, are you rested up? You ready? This is giving you this microphone. I know it's like saying sick them to a bulldog, and so you just rip and tear and snort and all that kind of stuff, and let us have it, brother. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you?
Yes, sir.
Lord, I just pray for Brother Gerald right now, and I just lift him up to you, Father. Your mouthpiece for this night, Father. Bring your word, bring your message to our hearts, Lord. Touch us, Lord. We are here, Lord, and I pray that every person, every soul in this room is saying, Lord, talk to me, speak to me. I want it, I need it, I can't live without it, and I need to do something. Tell me what my part is.
Yeah.
Father, I bless this man, bless Debbie, Father, as they finish up here tonight. But Lord, go with them and keep them safe as they go on back tomorrow. But Lord, I pray, it's my sincere prayer that what has begun does not end.
Amen.
That it would just keep on keeping on, and it would grow and magnify, Father, not for number's sake, but for Your glory and for the advancement of the kingdom, Father. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now give the Lord a good hand.
Amen. It's been an honor to be here. It's so good to see all of you here tonight. And the Cornerstone Praise Team, you guys were awesome. So give them another good hand, if you would. I will be with them in February. Be doing a men's conference. So I'd like to invite you men to come and be with us. I'm sure you can get some more details from them. I'm sure they'll let you know about that. But we had a good time last time we had the conference. And looking forward to it this time. Debbie and I appreciate everything you've done, everything you have put into this. You know, some of you have had to work, and you've come on out on Monday night and then Tuesday night. You have prayed, you have sacrificed, you have given the offering, and I really do appreciate it. We couldn't do what we do unless you did what you did. So we appreciate it. I don't have a job. I don't. I haven't punched a time clock. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the last time. Been full-time in the ministry since 1995. And couldn't do it without you. So I really do appreciate you. And I just pray that you would continue. I got a call from a pastor today. Had a revival with him in January. And he said they've been in revival ever since January. So I want to hear that from you guys. Please, man, just keep it rolling. Amen. How many plan on that? How many gate kickers are in here? Let me see your hands. Come on, I hope we've got some gate kickers. Amen. I want to sing one song for you and then get into the Word of God. I'm going to scoot this back because I don't want it to mess my hair up. This is a Bernie Sanders hairdo. And I've worked out. I knew somebody'd enjoy that. Amen. Here's a little song I wrote. Maybe it'd be a blessing to you. How many are forgiven tonight? My sleep is gone. My heart is filled with sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow when the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, I will. Until my dying day, I'll help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. Thank God he does. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would even take the time to care for an old sinner like me. But you know, I read in the Bible that old story, that precious story, how he pled for mine and your forgiveness as he was dying on that old rugged tree. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, I will, Lord. Until my dying day, I'll help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. If you're a Christian, I want you to raise your hands right now and just tell Jesus Christ how much you love him. Come on. Tell him how much you appreciate him. 10,000 angels waited for his beck and call. Oh, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'm gonna serve you. Yes, I will. Until my dying day, I'll help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, all I have is you. But Lord, all I need is you. You. Amen. Give him a praise. Praise the Lord. I have another song I'd like to sing, I think. First of all, is there any? I know there's probably not. But is there any rednecks in the house? I wrote this song just for us. I didn't say you, did I? I said just for us. This is a special little song. I wrote this. And I was at one of them country churches out in the country. Four-wheel drive was there that I was talking about last night. On the back window, it said Bass Pro Shop. Woo, that's spiritual. Mossy Oak. Browning. And then down here on the bumper, it had a sticker that said, Real Men Love Jesus. I believe that. How about y'all? Now, there's some songwriters. Ronnie Henson's one of them, and he'll see bumper stickers and write songs. And Mr. Hemphill wrote songs about seeing bumper stickers, and I thought, now one of them is going to see this sticker and write a song about it, and I'm going to beat them to it. So I wrote this song. It's been on hold for a while by a country artist who's going to do a gospel album by Sammy Kershaw. Sammy had a sad song about a yard sale. Make a glass eye cry. He's had this on hold, but he ain't here tonight. So I want to sing it for y'all, and stand up with me. You got to help me with this. If there's any rednecks here, let me hear a yee-haw. Okay, here we go. I like it now. Well, I like living on this old farm, riding that big green tractor parked out in the barn. Back porch coffee with the woman I love. We watch steam rise from our matching cups. But Sunday is the Lord's day. Around here no work gets done. Our family's gone to that same church since Grandpa's kids were born. We're Bible-toting Christians, love our country and our flag. We honor those who fought and died for freedom we now have. I don't want to get above the things that I learned growing up. I live by that old sticker on my truck. Real men love Jesus. Can I get an amen? Woo! Well, I like the smell of fresh cut hay. I like watching a herd of white-tailed deer in the morning grays. 10-pound catfish on my line, or crocodile, alligator. Country boys like spending time. But listen now. Sunday is the Lord's day. Around here no work is done. Our family's gone to that same church since Grandpa's kids were born. We're Bible-toting Christians, love our country and our flag. We honor those who fought and died for freedom we now have. I don't want to get above the things that I learned growing up. I live by that old sticker on my truck. Real men love Jesus. They're going to pick a little bit right here. I want to ask you, how many real men are in the building? You're not ashamed that you love Jesus. Get your hand up real high. If you're standing by your husband, kiss him right here on the jaw. Come on. I don't want to get above the things that I learned growing up. I live by that old sticker on my truck. Real men love Jesus. Woo! Real men, they love Jesus, and they're not ashamed of it either. I said real men, they love Jesus. Amen. Woo! Now, ain't that experience? That's a good one, ain't it? Man, some of them churches I go to and sing at, they don't know what to do. And some of them, you know, always have the wife kiss him on the jaw. Some of them ain't been kissed on the jaw for 10 years. So every time I go back, will you sing that song again? Christian people ought to have fun. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. I'll tell you, it gets on my nerves. You walk in church and you see them long-faced sourpot Christians. And they are telling the world, Pastor, you need what I got. The world said, man, I'm taking all kind of pills now. I got all kind of problems. The world ought to be coming to us saying, I don't know what you're on, but I want some of it. Can I get an amen? Anybody happy about Jesus tonight? Stand with me if you would. Open your Bible. I want to read one verse of Scripture. It's good to have all the visitors. I have enjoyed all of you. The praise and worship team tonight was awesome. Sister Timmy, I don't know the last name, Brother Timmy's wife up here leading the praise and worship. Where you at, hon? There she is, way back there. Got a little baby. Amen, look at that. He's so awesome. He took me to the Holocaust Museum one day down in Houston. We had a great time. He's a great young man. And his daddy is here tonight somewhere. All right, back there by daughter-in-law. There you go. I love you guys. And I love this pastor, man. I have had a great time. I love your dad, your whole family. They're incredible. I told you Baptists and Pentecostals could get along. We proved it this week. I've been proving it for several years, that woman right back there. I'm a Pentecostal. She's a Baptist. I wanted to prove to everybody we could do it, and we did it. Amen. Maybe a Methodist or two here tonight. Who knows? But you know what? When God looks down, he don't see tags. And when we go up, they're falling off. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be a little lot for this and that. We're all going to be together. So we might as well practice getting along. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 29. Revelation 2 and 29. I'm an evangelist. I've been an evangelist for several years. I enjoy it. I get tired every once in a while. I'm treading that drive tomorrow. 600 miles. Oh, man, I was really thinking positive. But I enjoy what I do. I get to see a lot of people saved. I get to meet a lot of people. Get to see a lot of good things. Love what I do. Love preaching messages about salvation. Love encouraging people. Try to get them to build the faith. Get full of the Spirit. Get full of God. Love preaching those kind of sermons. But the Lord dropped something in my spirit the other day. I hadn't pastored since 1995. I've pastored seven churches and hadn't pastored since 1995. I always enjoyed preaching pastoral messages. I really did. But I really hadn't preached one of those kind of messages. But the other day, the Lord dropped down in my spirit that I need to preach about the church. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm more of an evangelist. I'm always trying to tell him, But he knows what he's talking about. And he dropped this in my spirit. I didn't get this from somebody else's sermon outline. Didn't get it off the internet. Didn't get it off of another preaching tape. He dropped this in my spirit. And I want to share it with you tonight. I think it's going to be a blessing to you. Let's read tonight from Revelation 2 and 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to speak tonight on this subject, what's right with the church. Tired of hearing about what's wrong with it. But I want to talk about tonight, what's right with the church. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to stand here with your people. Lord, it's been an honor to be here this week with Pastor Mike and his congregation and the visitors. Lord, I pray that people have been encouraged and uplifted. Hope somebody got saved. Hope somebody received something that will help them go a little further in the journey and be a blessing to somebody else. God, they sure have blessed me. I pray that you would anoint my lips tonight. Use my mouth as a mouthpiece from glory. Lord, touch our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. Lord, let us leave here changed by your word and by your power tonight. And when it's all over, we'll give you the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Because it ain't about us. It's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. What's right with the church? You don't have to go very far to hear somebody say something negative or something bad about the church. But this is what the Lord gave me about the church. In Revelations, I read the scripture. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He'll speak to us tonight through his word. Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That, my friend, is the power of the church. Can I get an amen? Acts 20 and 28 says this, take heed, therefore, unto yourself. I want you to realize the Apostle Paul has been in Ephesus, probably planned on being there for a weekend revival. Ended up staying 3.5 years. He's leaving. He's preaching. It's close to midnight. There's a fellow sitting in the window of the church that falls out and breaks his neck and dies. You know why he fell out of church? Because he's more out than he was in. The Apostle Paul went down and prayed for him, and he revived and finished his sermon. This is what he is saying to Timothy and others that were there. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his blood. The church was purchased with his blood. That is the price that has been paid for this great church. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking. Somebody say, not forsaking. The assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That is the importance of the church. Somebody say, importance of the church. It's important to go to church. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 25. This will make you a better husband if you'll memorize this scripture. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is how much Christ loves this church. Amen. The word church comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, and it means a called out group. In John 14 and 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me and the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He is speaking of the church. We born-again believers have become the extended arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater works means in fact, there's no way we can do a greater work than Christ did. Amen. I haven't seen anybody yet walk on the water. But we do it in fact. Tonight all over the world, there are believers reaching people for the kingdom of God. Amen. Somebody say, thank God for the church. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just some secular institution. It is not just some religious organization. It is not just the first church of the highest steeple in your neighborhood. It is all born again believers. We are born into the church of the living God when we become born again. Can I get an amen? The church is referred to in the Word of God as this. Colossians 1 and 24. He calls the church the body of Christ. Revelation 21 and 9. He calls the church the bride of Christ. In 1 Peter 5 and 2. He calls the church the flock of God. In Hebrews 12 and 23. I love this. He calls it the general assembly of the firstborn. Man, that sounds like something, don't it? Revelation 1 and 20, he calls it the golden candlestick. Revelation 19 and 7, he calls it the Lamb's wife. Ephesians 2 and 21, he calls it a building that is fitly framed together. And in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, he calls the church the temple of the living God. My God, that's about to make me want to shout. How about you? What constitutes a New Testament church? Number one, Jesus Christ is the head. Colossians 1 and 18. Number two, the Holy Ghost is the guide. John 16 and 13. Number three, the Word of God is the authority, or as the authority. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Born-again pastors are shepherds, Acts 20 and 28. Born-again believers are members, Acts 2 and 41. It is self-governed with God Almighty as chairman of the board. Can I get an amen? If you bring up the subject of church, you're going to hear a lot of people say a lot of things. They're going to say things like this, that the church is nothing more than a bunch of legalistic folks. That's right in some instances. I've seen some of those people. Tried to run from them as fast as I could. Somebody might say that the church is a bunch of Jesus freaks. Somebody may call us radical extremists. Amen.
I've heard them call us Bible thumpers. They used to call us holy rollers. They call us name it, claim it people. And if you ever go out on visitation, somebody's going to tell you this. I don't go to church because there's nothing there but you've been there. They're going to say there ain't nothing there but a bunch of hypocrites. You're going to hear that. They say that about us. I got three things I want you to tell those people if you hear them say that. Tell them this. Number one, I don't know a better place for a hypocrite to be. You can't help a hypocrite at the beer joint. You can't help a hypocrite at the drug house. But they may come to church and sit under preaching for 30 years and be a hypocrite. But one night, a good old red-hot move of the Holy Ghost get a hold of them, and they decide, I'm going to live right and live for Jesus from here on out. Come on, somebody. And if you tell them that and that don't seem to help them, tell them this. If you despise them that bad, I believe I'd rather sit by one for 2 hours every Sunday than go to hell with them and spend eternity with them. And then if that don't work, tell them this. Come on down, one more ain't going to hurt a thing. You might hear something like this. The church is nothing but a bunch of nuts. And that's about half right. But one thing about it, we're screwed onto the right boat. Can I get an amen in the house? When I think of the church of the living God, and he was pouring all of this into my spirit, and I was trying to write it down. He brought to my attention the burning bush that Moses saw in the wilderness. Think about this. Moses had been working for his father-in-law for 40 years. I know that man was looking for another job. He's standing in the wilderness and he sees a bush on fire. And when he approaches the bush, he sees some things that astounds him. The Lord brought to my attention the burning bush was a preview and a prelude of the New Testament church. Listen, number one, it's where he met God. Did any of you get saved at Walmart? Anybody here get saved in the beer joint? Anybody here get saved on your job? Is there anybody here that got saved at the church house? Let me see your hand. It was a place. It's a place where he met with God. It was a holy place. He said, take your shoes off because you are standing on holy ground. As you look around at this building, you see wood and you see paint and you see carpet and you see all kind of material. But I got news for you. It's more than that. Man, I about shouted when I saw the sign on the wall. This church has been here since 1913, over 100 years. And I promise you, when this building was ordained, when it was sanctified and set apart for the use of the Master, it became a holy place. It's no longer just a building with brick and mortar and shingles. It is a place where God dwells with his people, where two or three gather in my name. Oh, my God, I'm about. Somebody shout for me back there. It was indestructible. The devil has tried to stop this for 2,000 years. Are you hearing me? In the early church, he tried to burn them out and they wouldn't burn. Amen. He tried to kill them out. He sewed them up in animal skins and fed them to lions and tigers. But like a mighty army moved the church of God. The more they would kill us out, the faster we would grow. Amen. And it can't be stopped. It is indestructible. I'm not sure Walmart will make it till Jesus gets back. I'm not sure GM will make it till Jesus gets back. I'm not sure these other companies are going to make it. But I got news for you tonight. As long as we're here, Jesus said there will be a church. When Jesus shows up, there will be a church. Good God, we are indestructible. Woo-hoo! Give somebody a high five and say, we're going to make it. He met with a compassionate God I don't care what you've been through, what kind of mess your life has been in. When you get to church, you meet a compassionate God. He loved me. He cared for me. He was merciful and gracious. Moses met a compassionate God. Listen what God's concern was when Moses talked to him. The only concern he had was his people. He said, I've got people that are in bondage that need to be set free. That is a compassionate God. I got news for you tonight. He is still concerned about your bondage. Amen. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. Good God, somebody say amen. It was in the church where he received direction. Have you ever seen such a mixed up world in all of your life? Man, I've lived 59 years. I've never seen nothing like this. People are crazy. Man, you meet people, the Cracker Barrel, for God's sakes. Family oriented. We was in a Cracker Barrel the other day somewhere. And it was a man with a dress on. Them big old feet about that long had a pair of high heels on. I was tempted to kick them out from under him. This is a messed up world. They don't know if they want to be men. They don't want to be if they want to be women. They don't know what they don't know what they don't know what they what kind of God they want. It's a messed up world. But I'll tell you one thing: if you'll go to church, you'll get some direction. Because when the man of God stands behind the pulpit, he's not saying what he wants to say. He's saying what thus saith the Word of God. And if you'll listen to the Word, it'll give you direction, and you'll find out what God wants for your life. He found purpose in his life, the church. That's what's right about the church. Now, if you'll hang with me for just a few minutes, I want to tell you about some things that's really right with the church. Man, I'm glad I'm a part of it, aren't you? I am so proud I'm in the church, his church. Number one, what's right about the church is the love that exists and dwells in the church. This love is not in the world. Different. The word love, we throw it around so easily. The American language is so messed up. We don't mean what we say or say what we mean. For instance, bad used to mean don't eat it, it'll make you sick. Not anymore. It means good. So confused. And the words change with every few years. And if you're not careful, you can really get in trouble using the word you used to use. I've had my granddaughter say, Grandpa, Granddad, using a word. That ain't what that means. Words change. Thank you. We don't mean what we say. We don't say what we mean. 2,000 years ago, Jesus used a fellow by the name of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great conquered every known world during his time. They say that in his early 30s, he was so depressed because there was nobody else to conquer that he became an alcoholic. And died an alcoholic. But God used him because he made the language, the universal language, the Greek language. And the New Testament was written in the Greek language. Thank God it wasn't written in the American language. My God, you talk about translations. The word we have as love can mean everything. I love that dress. I love that car. I love you. I love the kid. In the Greek language, there were four words for love. There was a word for I love this place. I love you, a more compassionate love. And I have a love for my wife, a more passionate. But then there is a love, the strongest of all loves, which is the agape love. It is the godly love. That love is not found in the world among the lost. Amen. Let me tell you what kind of love the world has. The world loves you if you love them. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, that's my best friend. Let's see if they are 10 years from now. Because you probably will offend them somehow and somewhere along the way. We operate like this. I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. You take care of me. I've got your back. I'll take care of you. But if you offend somebody, all of a sudden it's not as lovey-dovey as we thought it was. If you don't believe that, check the divorce courts out. But God does not love you because of. He don't love you because of what you did. God loves you in spite of. Dottie Rambo wrote a song. She said, he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. All right? When he saw me lost, he looked beyond the lost condition and not only saw what I was, he saw what I could be and would be. That's the kind of love that we have in the church. Can I get an amen? I did something really stupid one time. Actually, I've done stupid things a bunch of times. I volunteered to work at a youth camp 4 weeks in a row. Man needs his head examined. I had a head full of hair back then. Now, the first group wasn't too bad. This will let you know about how long ago it was. The guys and gal, they were in that moose stage, putting that moose on their hair, on them little, what do they call them, hanging down back? Mullet days. So they was all looking good with the moose and the mullets. You know, going to the church, sitting by the gal, and them teenagers, they wasn't too bad. Next group wasn't too awfully bad. It got worse. It just gradually got worse, I'm telling you. Maybe I got tired. But that last group was hard. There was a little boy there. At night, all of us counselors would put him to bed. And then we'd meet out there and talk about him. There's only one we got to talk about. He got all the attention. He was a little fellow somebody had brought, lived in the housing projects, didn't even go to the church. All this guy said was, man, he's the meanest kid I ever seen in my life. He steals the other kid's money. He cusses. He fights. He won't leave the little girls alone. You cannot. You can't turn your back. He's doing something. That was every night. That's all we heard. Every night. Finally, one night, he said, I'm going to send him home. Man, that broke my heart. Here's what I thought. I thought, okay. So this is a little special little camp meeting just for the preacher's perfect little children. I got news for some of the preachers. They're not as perfect as they thought they were. Now, the reason they're not is because they hung out with the deacon's kids too much. Right? Bad influences. But I thought, good God, is this just a little church club for the church people? I was about ready to say, hey, I'll take him. Or somebody step in front of me. I let him go ahead and take him. And he took him. Well, how's it going? Man, he steals. He fights. He cusses. He is into everything. All week long, man, that's all we talked about, that one kid. Poor fella. Friday night, last night of camping, youth camp. We had a guest speaker to come in, and man, he preached a great word. Those young people. That little old mean kid got up and went to the altar. About 10 or 11 years old. got saved. Boy, was he crying. He just squalled, man, running down his face. We were so excited. At the end of the service, they lined everybody up on the stage, all the counselors, and they had all the kids to come and shake hands with them because we're through. This is it, man. It's over with. This is the last night of 4 weeks. And here he comes. Walking up there, he's got this little hand raised. He didn't grow up in church. He's just feeling something. He's crying. He's got his hand raised. And he walks through that line, hugging our necks, saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And we squalling. I mean, we are tore up because that kid's been something. We're going over to the fellowship hall to eat after church. So we all go over there and we wait. And here he comes. Walks in that building, squalling. He walks through the line with his hand raised, squalling, honestly, to get his food. I love you, Jesus. I'm just getting with him close. I want to hear what he's saying. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. The next day is Saturday morning. We're getting ready to leave, and the state youth director is standing out front. He's all the kids. He wants them to come by. He wants to hug their necks and tell them to come back next year, and we're glad that you came. Here come this little boy. He grabbed that youth. He hugged him so tight. He began to cry. He said, Mr. Dan, I believe his name was Dan Dempsey. He said, Mr. Dan, do I have to go home? He said, Mr. Dan, I don't feel this at home. He said, I don't know my daddy. He said, my mama's never home. He said, do I have to? And that little boy left there crying. He said he didn't want to go home. But I got news for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what happened to the little fella, but I know one thing. He got something there called the love of God that he was fixing to take home with him. Amen. I probably have run up against him because he probably became a preacher of the gospel and pastored a great church. Are you hearing me? Because that's what the love of God is all about. Come on now. It takes broken situations and takes broken lives and puts it all back together and makes something good. I love the love of God, don't you? Woo! It'll make you hate what you used to love and love what you once hated. That's what I like. God, we've all got it. Because we couldn't sit side by side the way we were in the world. We'd done be fighting by now. Number two, what I love about the church is the fellowship of the church. Did you know Jesus was all about fellowship? Did you know God's been all about fellowship? Listen to this. Listen to the many times he mentions the table. David said he prepares a table. How many know tables are all about fellowship? If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. It used to be that tight. It's all that good fellowship we have with the saints. They love to eat. Get together. David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him. What's he talking about? Sit down at the table. After his resurrection, he's standing over on the lake waiting for Peter. You know what he's got going on over there? He's cooking fish, coming down. He's about fellowship. We're fixing to have a marriage supper of the Lamb, praise God, where that big old table will stretch out into eternity, and we'll have he's all about fellowship. He loves us coming together. He said if two or three get together, that's fellowship. If two or three agree as touching anything, that's fellowship. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's fellowship. Call for the elders of the church. That's fellowship. Right? Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. That is fellowship. Look over and tell your neighbor, I need you. I need you. We need each other. I want to tell you, these people that tell me they don't need a church get on my last nerve. Well, I don't need a church, bless God. My TV is my church. You ever heard them? They don't want to go to church. It just don't make sense to me. But they want to go to heaven. Why would you want to go to heaven with all them people you didn't want to go to church with? Isn't it going to be a little weird hanging out with people you don't know? Come on now. Well, bless God, this is my church. Hallelujah. We had our church here on Sunday morning. Now listen, thank God for TV ministries for those that can't go to church. Those that are in the nursing home, those that are in the hospital, those that are sick. I've been there, and thank God for it. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, and I make no bones about it. If you can ride that little scooter to Walmart, you can ride that little scooter to church. Amen? He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He wants you here because we need each other. Paul said, when you're weak, I'm strong. And when I'm strong, you're weak, and we can help each other get on down the road. Well, I've got my preacher. He's on my television. That's my church. Okay, when you get in the hospital, call your preacher. Brother Osteen will be there in 10 minutes, I'm sure. Amen. Brother T.D. Jakes will land his jet right there in your front yard. Amen. That's your preacher in their church. Come on now. God help me, somebody. We need each other. I learned this so. It's amazing how the Lord teaches us lessons and what we have to go through to learn lessons, especially us hard-headed ones. I had a heart attack a little over 2 years ago, right down the road here, Livingston, Assemblies of God. You were there. I was preaching a camp meeting. Had a heart attack. Man, it hurt. It hurt bad. You don't want to have one. But I hadn't finished my sermon, so I wanted to finish it. Big, tough preacher. So I finished my sermon, didn't I? I went down there and was praying for them people. Man, it was hurting. I prayed for as many as I could, and I finally told the pastor, I said, man, I got to go sit down in your study. I said, I'm hurting really bad. And it really alarmed me and alarmed some of the other people there because there was another pastor there that done had one. He knew kind of what was going on. And I went to bed that night, and honestly, I didn't know if I'd wake up the next day. I knew something serious going on. And Brother McDaniel wanted to drive me home. And I said, no, I'm going to drive. I drove 12 hours home. Man, I'm getting calls every 5 minutes. How you doing? Man, all kind of people. You want me to come drive you in? Oh, I'm going to make it. And I drove home. I got home. She had supper ready. We ate supper. She said, you want to go to the hospital? I said, yeah, let's go. I went. They drew blood. They said, your enzymes are high. You're in trouble, man. They started doing work. They were going to do a stent, but then they went in there and found out a widowmaker was just about clogged up. I was about to kick the bucket. They did a triple bypass, open heart surgery, and it was tough. Man, take care of yourself. You don't want that. So I sewed me all up, sent me back to the house, and thank God for a good wife. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Bless her heart. She went through it, putting up with me there for a few days. Something happened during that time. I got depressed for no reason. They say that it just comes with it. I would sit on the back porch and just for no reason cry. I don't have nothing to be depressed about. I have a good house. I have the greatest wife that God ever made. I'm blessed. I have got everything in the world going for me, honestly. I don't have nothing to be. But I just said that I just started crying. What's wrong?
I don't know.
Oh, and you hear these church people. Well, just rebuke it. I did. Plead the blood, buddy. I plead the blood. Well, don't claim it. I didn't claim it, but I'm still depressed. I want to tell you, some of them people get on my nerves. Don't claim it, baby. It was there. You just call it what you want. It was there. It wasn't me, okay? And I dealt with that. 3 or 4 months later, I went back on the field preaching. Every once in a while, I'd get depressed. I was down in Oklahoma preaching a revival. Man, I was depressed. No reason. Depressed as I could be. Lord, it was terrible. Such a dark night. Man, that's out of season, okay? I got ready, put my tie on, fixed my nice hair. Y'all jealous. You guys back there. Drove to church depressed. Sung depressed. Got up and preached depressed. Gave an invitation depressed. People came up. And the Lord, he just amazes me how he works. You need to call all those that are going through depression up and pray for them. Okay, God, that's really funny. Here you go. He's out in the spirit. So I did. I called them up. And we're praying for them. They don't know it. They don't know I'm in prayer. They might think, well, there's something going on with him. Because everybody's reading you. You know, they're looking at you, trying to figure out what's wrong with you. A little woman came behind me, a little black lady, came behind me, laid her hand on my back. And while everybody else is praying, she's praying. And I don't know what she was praying. But I know one thing. I felt something. And that cloud left me. That has been over 6, 8 months ago, maybe a year ago. Been a year ago. I have not had one depressed day since that happened. The devil is a liar. And you know what? I know God uses the pastor and the evangelist and the minister. I know that, but that's not all that he uses. It was just a little prayer warrior, amen? Maybe just a little prayer warrior that came up and God just gave her, that boy needs something. She laid her, we need each other. She prayed the prayer, and I'm happy tonight. The depression's gone. We need each other. Thank God for you. I love you. You're my brother. We need each other. We need fellowship. I'll tell you something else I love about the church. I love the deliverance in the church. How many of you have ever been delivered of anything? Raise your hands. You couldn't find it out there, but you found it in here. Deliverance in the church. I have never seen such bondage in all of my life. I've been in ministry a long time. I have never seen the bondage that I see right now in the world and in the church. There's about as many drug addicts in the church, a lot of them, than there is in the world anymore. It is a pitiful. Listen to this. This is mind-boggling. It will blow your mind. They said over 80% did a survey. They claim this. It's hard to grasp this, but they have done a survey. They said over 80% of church members are addicted to pornography. Is that stunning? Is that stunning? Church members are addicted to alcohol. Church members are addicted to prescription drugs and illegal drugs. I want to tell you, if there ever was a time we need deliverance, we need it now. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. I've seen it more in these past few years than I have ever seen it in all of my life. People are demon-possessed. People are doing things. There's no way to explain a man taking a rifle and killing that, shooting at that many people in his right mind. There ain't a right mind that does that. It was under the power of hell. Do you know what I read today? This blows my mind. I can't imagine this. A woman in Atlanta, I don't know if within the last few days, a woman in Atlanta put two of her kids in the oven and killed her children and videoed it and sent it to their dad. You know what that is? That's demonic depression. You hear me? This world is in a mess. If there ever was a time we need deliverance, my God, we've got to have deliverance. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is still in the delivering business, and it is happening in the church. Are you hearing me? It's happening in the church. I was at a full gospel businessmen's meeting probably a year and a half ago in Canada. I've never witnessed anything hardly as powerful as it was. Honest to God, Pastor, you was up there praying around the altar. It almost felt like you'd walking through water. The presence of God was so awesome. People were being delivered. People were being saved. And people were being healed. There were young boys testifying, being delivered, 15, 14. One boy was 12 years old, said he was being delivered of drugs and alcohol. I'm thinking, 12 years old, man. When I was 12 years old, I didn't know what drugs was. God was doing some awesome things. I looked over at a boy who had a look on his face. He just looked miserable. He just looked like he was in a strain, like he wanted to be there, but there was something pulling on him. And I walked over and began to pray for him. I laid my hands on him and began to pray for him in the name of Jesus. And when I did, that man began to growl. That man hit the floor, and honest to God, I laid my hand on him, on his chest. I've seen this many times before, but I'd never witnessed anything like this. When I laid my hand on his chest, you could feel his skin rising up in his chest. I can't explain it. It felt like the back of an alligator, the skin rising up on his chest, and it was just moving as I laid my hand on his chest, and he was growling, and I would pray in the name of Jesus, and he would say, "Ah, no," and no. But I got news for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We have authority. We have power over the powers of hell, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ defeated him, made a show of him openly, and through his kingdom. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and finally that thing left that boy. His chest leveled out, and he raised his hand and began to praise the Lord and gave his life to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's still deliverance in the church today. You don't have to go look somewhere else. It's here in the church. I was in South Carolina a couple of years ago. I was through preaching. I think it was the last night of the revival, actually, in a Pentecostal holiness. The Lord had laid a message on my heart, and I told him, I said, "God, that ain't going to fit this crowd." It did. You can't judge a book by its cover. You know, I mean, they all had that holiness look. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I mean, the hair, no makeup. I mean, it was, I said, "God, this sermon ain't going to be the right one." He was right. I preached. People came to the altar, and we prayed for them. I thought, I was walking, I was about to right here. The pastor was walking up right here. People on the stage had done quit singing, they had done went and sat down. And all of a sudden I looked up. Here come three people. It was a little old lady. Had a guy on each side. She come up. She had to be in her 70s. She said, "This is my son's." She said, "I'm addicted to drugs. This son's addicted to drugs, and this son's addicted to drugs. We do drugs together." Looked like a church woman. She said, "We share drugs." She said, "But we want out of the trap tonight. I preached on traps, and God set them free." There was no song. I wasn't given an invitation. The Lord just started fishing and bringing them out. This went on for 45 minutes. I would think, well, this is it. Here come another one. She said, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm addicted to alcohol, and I need to be set free. And she would sit down, and another one would come. She would say, I'm addicted to drugs. It went on and on and on. I thought, man, it's over. And just about the time I was sitting down again, here come another lady. She had two girls, one around each side. Man, she looked very sick. I mean, she looked like she could barely get along. And she came up and she said, and you could tell she was very much under the influence. She said, I need to be free. I'm in a trap. I need to be set free. We prayed for her and believed God to set her free, and He did. After I got back to Mississippi, she sent me an inbox, her daughter. She said, thank you for giving our mother back to us. She was on 7 different kinds of painkillers. Not 7 a day. 20 and 30 and 40 a day. 7 different kinds of painkillers. She brought a box of pills to church with her and sold some on the way to church. But after the Lord set her free, she gave them to the pastor's wife and she flushed them down the commode. She said, the Lord set my mother free. We got her mama back. A few months later, I'm preaching a revival in a little Baptist church down near Atlanta, Georgia, and I walk in, and guess what? Sitting on one seat is a fella that had got delivered of homosexuality and called to preach and pastor. And sitting on the other side is that little lady that was about to kill herself with drugs who was set free. And I said, my God, he's still in the deliverance business. He's still setting people free. Somebody give him a praise. You're in the right place. You're in church where he's doing his work. Hallelujah. That's why I love the church. My God, I could stand up here all night and tell you story after story. I got so many points, I just have to quit when I see a dirty look or something. They say it's about time to quit. I look for them. Tell you what else is right with the church. Healing's right with the church. He is a healer. But he don't heal every time. Everybody I prayed for didn't get healed. He's still a healer. If I never see another person healed, Jesus Christ is a healer. I was in Atlanta, Texas, a couple of years ago. We'll never forget this. We was praying around the altar. Here come a lady with another lady, and she introduced her to me. She said she hasn't spoken for 5 years. She's went to specialists, and they've all given her the same diagnosis. She'll never speak. It's incurable. Told her they might inject some kind of steroids in her vocal cords. She might make some tones for a while, but never speak. I said, well, let's pray. And we prayed for her. Here goes the Lord again. Tell her to praise me with her lips, with her voice. I said, Lord, she don't have one. I said, ma'am, the Lord just told me to tell you to praise him with your voice, with your lips. That little old gal just obeyed. She threw that head back. She starts praying in the spirit. I took the microphone to her lips. That was her home church. Everybody knew she couldn't talk. But she's talking now. You tell me he ain't a healer? Whew, good God, the hair's standing up on my arm right now. Probably on my head too. What, 2 or 3 I got? After church, I saw her in the back talking to a little girl about this tall. Now, I know what's going on, and you do too. But I'm nosy as you are. So I went back there and I asked her. I said, who is this you're talking to? Listen to this. She said, that's my 5-year-old daughter. We are having our first conversation together. My God. Hey! He's a healer. If you could go back far enough on my Facebook page, you'll find where she put this on Facebook. I drove through the drive-thru today and ordered my own food. Come on now. He is in the healing business. Boy, when God starts doing it, he just shows out. I'm telling you. There was another lady walked up just like this, that foot just crooked as it could be. She'd been in a wreck, and she had all kind of pins and things in her foot. And she said, I believe if God can heal her, he can heal me. And we prayed for her, and God healed that foot. That thing straightened up, and she took off. Man, she ran around that building, and that place came unglued. I got news for you tonight. The devil is a liar. He is still in the healing business. Woo! Last church I pastored, boy, it was the best one too. I started the church. Started with a few people, had my kids. I'm the only person that ever had the entire Crab family in my praise and worship team. John Hagee had one of my boys, but I had the whole bunch. We had a good time. Oh, I was in that pulpit, I'd preach, Lord, send us some more people. He didn't for a long time. Finally, I changed my prayer. I started praying, God, send us the people nobody else wants. Be careful how you pray. They came. I found out why they didn't want some of them. We didn't know what to do with them. So we just loved them and kept them. Within a year, honest to God, we was packed out. They were standing around the wall. And I want to tell you, we had some weirdos. Some of the weirdest people you'll ever meet go to church. Especially Pentecostal churches. We just attract them. I don't know. It was awesome. It's the best church I ever pastored. Because it was from all those hard heads. They had come from broken lives. They had come from drug addictions. Hey, can I give me 5 minutes? I got to tell you, I just looked for a place to tell this story. I love this story. I preached a revival there as a pastor one time. And I preached this revival. And the first night of the revival, this fella and this girl came in. He had hair down to here. He had tattoos. He was covered in tattoos. And he looked like he had fell in a tackle box face first. She was dressed, but not for church. And honest to God, I preached, and that night they came to the altar. And both of them got saved. Both of them got saved. She got up from there. She was just a squall. She said, oh, he can't save me. I said, yes, he can. No, he can't. I said, well, why can't he? She said, because I was a dancer. And we had a bunch of little church women up there. Well, honey, we used to all dance. I'll never forget that. She wasn't talking about the Charleston. She come out of a strip joint. Her husband was a drug dealer and a drug user, and God saved both of them, and they brought 20 members of their family to our church. It was awesome. It was awesome. This guy called me one day. I grew up with him. He learned to play the guitar, but, man, he really passed me up with it. He was as good could be. I mean, he played Lynyrd Skynyrd better than Lynyrd Skynyrd could. Boy, he played all over the world, opened for some of the biggest acts, played with some of the biggest acts. He played in bars all over the world. He called me Doug in Kentucky. He said, hey, Doug. He said, I heard your pastor now. He said, I just want you to know I just got saved. He said, can I come to your church? I said, man, yeah, come on. And the next thing, he said, can I bring my guitar? Man, I was, oh, Lord. Man, that's the next thing I was going to ask him. You see, when I told my church,
Little Rick Hired was coming. That was like Elvis Presley. He was a celebrity in our country. Honestly, he was. And I told them, you ain't going to believe this, folks. Sunday night, Little Rick Hired's coming. He's bringing his guitar. Good God, they was waiting at the door. They could not wait. Here he come carrying that old Les Paul Gibson in. It had been in so many bars, it smelled like a Marlboro coming up the aisle. Man, they was carrying in them big Marshall amps and them wah-wah pedals. And he pulled that thing out. It was nicotine yellow. You know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we had a band second to none. We played Victory in Jesus. It sounded like Sweet Home Alabama. We rocked and rolled, man. People in the neighborhood, they got home a lot earlier than we got out. They wouldn't come in, but they sat down in their yards and listened to us jamming for Jesus. Amen. Every once in a while, somebody would say, it's too loud. I said, scoot back. Wasn't too loud when you was in the honky-tonk. Dancing with somebody else's old lady in front of the speaker saying, turn it up, rock me, baby. Hey, ain't it amazing how when we get saved, it gets too loud? Bible said, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we had a real unique church. It was a real old building. Probably over 100 years old, maybe 150 years old. Had a little. And we got ready to name it. I said, what are we going to name it? And I said, let's name it Grace Chapel because that pretty well describes, you know, this congregation. And we named it Grace Chapel. So here we are, this beautiful old-timey building. And we got this sign out front that says Grace Chapel. Don't that sound so calm? People come by, there's a nice little chapel. They get in and we lock the doors and fire it up, baby. Turn it up. We had a good time. Talking about healing later. I had to tell you about my church. I left it with a pastor in 1995. He's still there, same pastor. There's a couple that came in one night. It was her and her husband and three or four kids. They sat down on the second from the back seat in our little chapel. Everybody went around and shook hands with them. I thought, they probably thought, man, these are the friendliest people. And we fired it up. And boy, when we lit it up, her eyes was this big around. And when I started preaching, I thought she's going to pass out. A lot of people said, well, you don't have to scream at us. Well, I'm practicing. Saw a film one time build a ball field and the people will show up. They did. I thought they will never be back. They came back the next Sunday. She was a nurse in the local Davis County Hospital. They just kept moving up until that second seat was their seat, raising her. She said, we love the freedom we feel in this church. They went to one of those churches, if you raise your hand, they ask you what you wanted. We love the freedom. Can we be members here? Can we support this church? They love the church, and the people love them. She was in her late 30s, and she came down with a very rare blood disease. She was dying. She was at the hospital where she worked in intensive care unit watching herself die. Very rare. She couldn't move her hands. She couldn't move her legs. Her tongue hung out of her mouth. She couldn't even get her tongue in her mouth. It was pitiful. I was there when she filled out her will, and they were preparing for her to die. They sent her to another hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, Lexington Medical Center. They sent her there to die. She went there. She was dying. She was in intensive care unit. She was there for a couple of days, and her husband called me. When he called me, I thought it was bad news. I said, what is it, Ed? I said, is it bad news? He said, preach us good news. Get up here as quick as you can. I got in my car and drove 170-some miles quick as I could get there. When I got there, I met her husband. My God, he was so excited. He was that high off the ground. He said, have you been to her room? I'm like, man, I just pulled in the driveway here. Her room.
Yeah, preacher, she's in a room. No, man, she's in intensive. No, she's in a room. He took me to the room. We went in the room. She's sitting in the bed hooked to nothing. Dying a day or two later, earlier. She's hooked to nothing. She's sitting up in the bed with the biggest smile on her face. He's over there jumping up and down. Tell him what happened. Tell him what happened. And I'm like, tell me what happened. And this little girl that didn't know anything about how Pentecost and getting healed and shouting and all that kind of stuff, she didn't know any about that stuff. She just said this. This is how she explained it. She said, I was down there in the intensive care unit. She said, but he walked in. Woo! She said, when he walked in, he healed me. So she's everything, and all of a sudden she's trying to get, she's pulling that. She's a nurse. And these other nurses are freaking out. They're like, man, you can't do that. You can't do that. And she's like, give me, you know, she motioned from, give me something to write on. They got her a tablet and a pen. She wrote, call my doctor, I'm healed. The doctor came in and put her in a room. By Saturday, she was helping us paint the walls in the fellowship hall. And Sunday morning to a packed out place, people she worked with was there. Her doctor, who was an atheist, had written a note for me to read to my congregation that this woman had received a miracle. It was undeniable, unexplainable, and irrefutable. Are you hearing me? He is in the healing business. I want you to stand with me right now. That's why I love the church. He is still in the saving business. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what kind of a mess you've gotten yourself into. He's in the saving business. I love to see people healed. I love to see people get blessed. Love to see people shout. But there's only one thing that I read about in the Word of God that causes the angels to rejoice. And it ain't somebody getting healed of cancer, as great as that is. It ain't somebody getting delivered of this and that. It's when somebody gets saved. When somebody prays the prayer of a sinner, the angels in heaven rejoice. That's my priority. That's top priority. I've seen so many broken lives that people have said they're hopeless and they're helpless. Jesus just comes along, turns everybody into a liar. Because there's nothing too hard for him. Nothing impossible for Jesus. I don't care what a mess your life is. I don't care what a sinner you are. I don't care how bad you are. There was a woman at a well who was a wreck. Couldn't live with anybody. Couldn't get along with anybody. But he turned her life around. And she brought a whole town out to meet Jesus. There was a man in a graveyard so bound with demons, he broke the chains, screamed day and night, cut himself with stones. But when Jesus got through with him, he was clothed and in his right mind, saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. There was a prostitute by the name of Mary Magdalene who met a man named Jesus. She followed him all the way to the cross. And all the way to the tomb. And all the way to heaven, somebody. I don't care what kind of life you got to throw down at him. He's got what you need. He knows how to turn it around. So if there's anybody here tonight, first of all, heads bowed right now. Eyes are closed. How many are in this building tonight? And you'll be honest with me. and you'll raise your hand. And by that, say, preacher, I know that I'm not where I need to be with God. Raise your hand right now. Hands all over the building. I want you that got your hands up now to get out of your seat and join me right up here right now. Come on. Come. Come on right now. Right now. Right now. See, I want you to know when you leave here you're saved. I want you to know you're going to heaven. I want you to know your name is in the book. Ain't no guessing about it. I want you to know that you know that you know that you know. No guessing. If you have any doubts whatsoever, get up here now. This is why I do what I do. This is payday. This is the reward. My God, this is awesome. This is what makes angels rejoice. This is what makes the devil nervous when we get together. Woo! There's some folks here tonight going to get their name written down on the Lamb Book of Life. There's some folks here tonight going to leave knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm ready. I know that I know that I know that I know. And the devil can't steal it from me, can't take it from me. You need to know, friend. Paul said, I know in whom I have trusted. And I know I'm committed that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I know that. I know that. I know that. Now I want some church people to come and help me pray with these folks. Come on, get you somebody and pray with them. Make sure they get what they need.